Welcome to the Mile 99 interview with your hosts, Jessica Harris,
Mike Turner,
and Greg Larkin.
Enjoy this episode. We'll see you on the trails.
See you out there.
See you there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mile 99 interview. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Harris. The Mile 99 interview is a place to hang out with like-minded folks in your trail community and road community. We got to change that. Everyone, huh? Share our stories, successes, failures, and deepest trail secrets. This is also the place to get the latest in local race news and find out what's going on in our community. We record live on Zoom and Facebook, one take, no breaks, and unlike the trails and road, what is said here is on the record. Tonight, I'm joined by my favorite co-hosts, Mike Turner and Greg Larkin. Happy birthday, Mike. How you doing?
Good. I am feeling good. Today was a sunny day, and I was ready for a sunny day. We've had lots of rain, and my training has been, I'm finding lots of reasons to not run. So There's always a good reason to not get out, but I know that today was a beautiful day. I barely made it to the show because I was out running around and just enjoying it. So yeah, no, it's going pretty good. How are you, Greg? How are you doing?
Doing all right. Yep. Got out yesterday. It was pretty nice. Went for a walk today. Figured slow it down, but yeah, I'll be happy. Maybe soon I'll get my weekly mileage over 10, but still been on the bike a lot, feeling good, you know, been enjoying that. As you know, I've been talking about that a lot. But yeah, I'll be getting going here soon. I got a few months and I got to really start cranking it up for the Mount Washington Road Race in June. So start doing some climbing. How are you doing, Jessica?
I am good. I ran Shamrock Half on Sunday, and that is just so fun. My goal this year was to kind of copy some of my training I did during my most successful ultra running year, and that had a lot of road running in it. A lot of races that I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time on a road half marathon, which sounds crazy, but it really like gets different muscles moving. It's a different energy. You see new people that you haven't seen in a while. So I didn't have my fastest time, but I had my happiest time. My kids were at the finish line. My co-parent brought them, and that was just like great. And I'm recovering from that. I'm feeling very excited to still run and not be so sore. And training's going good. And the sun helps. I've been running in the rain though. So I've beat you guys. I've been doing it. But I'm very happy that we had some sun today. We have a lot of things going on in our community, rain, snow, or sun. It's going to happen. Gray, you want to fill us in?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, starting off, there was a reschedule. Marin Ultra Challenge was canceled or postponed more so for safety reasons than due to the rain and the just erosion issues and all kinds of things. A lot of safety issues out there, especially near the coast. So they've rescheduled that for June 3rd. So make a note of that. I'm sure everybody that was supposed to run it, I think some people still went out and kind of ran unofficially, but not good with a horde of people out there in a race. So check that for June. But upcoming, we've got Folsom Lake Sweetwater Trail Run coming up this weekend, actually on Saturday. Kids run all the way up to 50K. That was rescheduled from January. And we've got a Knickerbocker Canyon race. That's the following weekend. Inside Trails is putting that on the 25th. So 5K to 35K distances there. There's a Mighty Dog Trail Run. So bring your four-leggeds out and do a race, 5K or 10K in Granite Bay. Totalbodyfitness.com. You want to check them out there. That should be in March. And then right off April 1st, AR50, AR25, and all that. That's going to be exciting. I will be at, Last Gasp doing ham radio support for that race. And so I hope to see lots of people crawling up that little climb there. That'll be fun. And then, of course, later in the month of April, UTMB Canyons, 100K, 100-miler, many distances, 50K, I believe, as well. And what's going on with that, Jessica?
Well, we have our volunteers because I try to snag people so early. So we have our roster of volunteers. And if any of our volunteers are listening right now, there's a new interface for volunteers that I have to set up. And we've just been so busy with races and volunteering that I haven't quite done that. but it should be up by tomorrow and I'll have your shifts. And it really makes it so that the volunteers and the organization can track how what volunteers are doing the most for incentives and stuff like that. So that new platform will be launching soon and I'll get details for everyone. So far, we do have that Friday shift. Myself and I believe these ones, we're going to be camping because then we have another wave of runners coming in Saturday morning for a short shift. So we have lots of options and also lots of options to work at our aid station and then work at other aid stations because I know a lot of people are interested in doing that as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So of course, before any of these races and especially these big ones, we do have a huge need for not just volunteers on race day, but also volunteers for trail work. And it almost feels to me like every time there's a trail work day, we get a slamming storm coming in and it gets undone. So I hate to think like what's going to happen after the last week or so, but Western States, WSER.org on their website, they've got trail work day signups out there. I know they just had some people out there this past weekend cleaning things up. Again, hopefully it wasn't undone too much by the last couple of days, but we do need to keep working at that. And especially for all of us who are signed up for races this summer with a volunteer requirement, we do need to get ourselves out in the woods there and start banging away on some rocks and trees and roots and all that. So definitely go to WSER.org. You can get your signups there. And they'll have work days, you know, from now until June, I think, pretty much up until Western States. May, we're going to be looking at Total Body Fitness again. They put on tons of races around this area, Folsom Lake. They've got the Folsom Lake International Triathlon on May 13th. And then there's going to be a trail run out at Sly Park the same day. So if you're more into that type of thing, I don't think I've ever been to Sly Park. I do need to get out there. 5K to 50K distance out there at Sly Park, May 13th. Yeah, so there's tons of stuff. Also note that anyone who loves to suffer, maybe vicariously, can jump online and start following the updates from the Barkley Marathons, which are going on right now. And there's still like a decent number of people left, I guess. Some have had to pull out, but there's still a good number of people. And I guess the weather is pretty decent. So we'll see how that unfolds over the next few days. Back to you.
No, there's like a lot of people on Loop 4. It's getting pretty exciting. I've been following Keith Dunn. If anyone hasn't followed Keith Dunn on Twitter, that's
really good. Yeah, check his Twitter for sure.
Yeah, that's where I've been getting them anyways. Thanks for that, Greg. Well, we have a lot going on, but tonight we have a lot going on as well. We are chatting with local trail runner, mom, wife, fitness coach, marathoner, ultra runner, and worldwide multi-iron woman finisher, Suzanne. Her accomplishments are endless, yet you would never suspect that she has superhuman superpowers because she is so down to earth. And tonight you get to find out all about her. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Hi, thanks for having me, you guys. I'm excited.
You have been on our list for so long. I'm glad schedules all worked out. We're happy to see you. See that smile? Love to see it.
You're buttering me up. It's okay. I like it.
So on the show, we like people to know all about you. So we're going to start out from the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born here in El Dorado Hills.
Awesome. And did school, elementary, middle school, high school here?
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Me and all of my family. So in school, I was figuring out if they liked my older brother better or my older sister better, and then using that to my advantage until they figured out they were both my siblings. But yeah.
I know. Are you the youngest?
I am not. I am the third of four. I am the middle daughter.
And so your younger one also did that to you, probably. They had a better odd. They're like, which sibling should I say?
They're like, how many more are they? Yeah.
Did you do any sports in your younger years?
Yeah. I mean, so I grew up on 5 acres and loved being outdoors. And mom and dad said, like, if you ever get stuck, you can eat this, this, and this. And if you are out there, don't eat this, this, and this. And so even to this day, like, I was out on the trails and someone's like, oh, that looks good. I'm like, oh, that's on that don't eat list. He's like, what do you mean that's not the don't eat? I'm like, no, mom and dad said don't eat that. He's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. They just said don't eat it. So Like I would be in an oak tree and I would climb down, eat some miner's lettuce, and then go back in the oak tree and spend the day. And mom and dad just, when you're hungry, you'll come home. And so I just loved being outside. Not surprising, or maybe surprising, I had a lot of energy as a kid, so I couldn't really sit still. And so I played any kind of sports. When I was a baby, they threw me in the pool and I swam right away. So I've always loved the water. And like we used to take naps out on the pool because we didn't have heating and air conditioning. So you just sleep on a raft in the pool. And if you get tired or hot, you just dunk in and come back. And yeah, so any kind of sports where I hated running, but I could chase somebody and I could chase a ball. But soccer was my favorite. And I really wanted to do swim, but my dad always talked me out of swim.
Swim is a large commitment for a family with four kids. You know, those meets are so long, kind of like track and field. So
that might have been the reason. And for a long time, I was sad about it. And he always said it conflicted with soccer and he wanted me to play soccer and focus on that. And it could be the commitment. And in some ways I'm grateful because a lot of swimmers I know that grew up swimming and looking at the lap lane hate looking at the black line. And I still love swimming. Like I still love it. And like recently in 2020, I got to swim from the Golden Gate Bridge to the Bay Bridge. And that was amazing. It was so cool. Yeah, it was so cool. So I still love the water. So I guess I need to be grateful for him for talking me out of it.
Yeah, because young athletes really can burn out on some of that stuff. So sometimes parents just know. So we love that. Do you play soccer still?
I don't play soccer still. I was playing. My sister moved up back to the area and we started an indoor league for her because that's kind of her exercise. But because I'm competitive, like I'm all in. And it's not like it's World Cup. Right. Don't get me wrong. Like it's rec. But if someone comes at me, like I'm going to hold my ground. So like every Sunday, you know, I would go for my long run, try to eat, maybe do a bike ride or play with the kids or do something. And then I would play soccer at night and like my ankle was bothering me. And my training log is like ankle hurts, can't walk. Don't know if I can do my marathon. Icing every single Sunday. My husband finally said like every Sunday you're coming beat up because your ankle. And it just became to a point that it wasn't worth it because I had so much invested in these races. I was really doing it for my family. And it was awesome because we'd go out to BJ's, we would go hang out. I love that. My dad would come watch our soccer games again. He loved it, but I just don't know how to play for fun.
So you know that about yourself. So it sounds like is all your family really into sports and outdoors and you kind of grew up that way?
No. My sister was really inside. I mean, she burns really easily. If she sits outside for lunch, she'll get sunburned. So she's the oldest. So she took care of us a lot. So she does more of the stay home and stuff, but she loves soccer. My brother loves soccer. He also loved mountain biking. So he kind of like planted some seeds when he would bike up Telluride Hills. I'm like, why would you do that? And then now I get it. And then my younger sister played soccer, but she wasn't really into that. She liked watching TV. So not my jam. Yeah.
Not my jam. Got it. So you grew up outside playing soccer here and there, knew you were competitive and liked to chase things. You get through high school and then was college in the cards or what were you doing after high school?
Yeah. So because I have a hard time, I love soccer so much. I chose to go to UC Santa Cruz. So because they had a lower division soccer team. So I wouldn't be tempted to play because I was a pre-med major and you have to really focus on your grades. And so I knew I couldn't do both. So I went to UC Santa Cruz. I went in 93 and I started having this cough over Thanksgiving, didn't think anything of it. I kind of graduated. And then February of 94, I'm diagnosed with asthma and like I can't breathe. Like I thought I pulled a rib out. It ended up being a kidney infection. It's just like out of like nowhere. And they're like, you have asthma. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm a competitive athlete. What are you talking about? I'm a competitive soccer player. And that was a rough period of my life to say the least.
And did that health scare affect schooling at all? Or, I mean, how did you kind of, were you still able to continue with whatever degrees you were pursuing?
Unfortunately, no, because I wasn't able to lay down. So I wasn't able to sleep because I just, anytime I try to lay down, I started coughing. And I'm so grateful. Nobody in the dorm, we were in Stevenson College, and nobody in the dorm ever gave me a bad time about how much I kept them up coughing all night. So I'd have to sleep crisscross applesauce with my hands. It's the only way I could sleep. And so I was falling asleep in my classes. So they let me, I was just so sick. And I'm like, no, I'm an athlete. Like, I don't have asthma. And they're like, yes, you do. Try this. I'm like, you just made it worse. And so I went part-time, and then I felt bad because my brother was going to UC Davis. And I felt bad that my parents were spending so much money on me going. And I was so sick. I was in the hospital every month. Like, I couldn't blow out the candles on my 19th birthday. My best friend came up from LA, and I tried and I tried and I tried. And like, she just looked at me and blew out my candles, and we just didn't know what to say because I just wasn't breathing much air. So life had a different direction for me. Than it would have been nice to get a little bit of notice, but
obviously you're breathing better now. How long did it take you from that diagnosis to get some treatment plan that worked?
Several years. Part of it is it's a process. And again, I grew up really healthy, so I had never taken medication. So when I did, on the rare occasion, you take the medications till they're done and then you stop. Well, so I take the medication, I would stop, and then it would come back. And so there was a point, and I've talked to clients about, there's a point to realize, I had to realize that the meds are helping me be me. Like,
okay. Yeah.
I mean, even now, if I stopped taking, that's why my voice is raspy. If I stopped taking my asthma meds, I couldn't do what I do. I couldn't go pace Napa Marathon within 2 weeks. I couldn't go to, I would go to Target and that would wipe me out, you know? And so it just, it took a process of finding the right meds. So I finally got to the point that I found the right meds. And if anything, because I was on the max dosage that before fatality, and I wanted to decrease it. And so like when I ran my first marathon in 2006 at CIM, I only know because I saw my asthma doctor the next day for a follow-up because I was better because I was worse. And he's like, you're 61% lung function. I'm like, what are you talking about? I just did a marathon yesterday. And he's like, well, you're at 61% lung function. I'm like, well, what if I was at 70%? Maybe it would have been easier. And it wasn't pretty. It was my first marathon. I walked the last 5 miles, but I didn't know people did marathons. Like, I thought maybe marathon was like the secret menu of In-N-Out or something that I didn't know about. Like, so I was like, well, what if I was 70% or 80%? And so that's kind of what took me down the road to nutrition, to figure out like what I can do to decrease the meds and still like enjoy this new life that I have of doing stuff. Cause I was so scared for so long to do anything. Yeah. It's good because it's like, these are all bonus years. Like, cause when I was 21, I had cardiac arrest cause my asthma. At 22, I was unconscious before the paramedics found me because a stomach flu triggered my asthma. So the fact that I'm here and I've apparently used 2 lives. So hopefully I'm like a cat and have 9 lives. And so I have a few more. It's been quite the journey.
Cause you really, when you hear an asthma diagnosis, sometimes that doesn't seem severe enough. Like you go, no, that's just people have inhalers. I saw that in elementary school, like they'd have to go to the nurse. But asthma is such a spectrum of where people fall into it. And you just, any sickness can really trigger asthma. Breathing is very important for healing your entire body. So from 94, when you got diagnosed, and then you said your first marathon was 2006.
Yeah.
How did you get from 94 to at least being able to train for that first marathon?
Something about being pregnant, my lung function got a little bit better. And then we figured out some medications were also better. So it kind of coincided at the same time, but I also still was very fearful of doing something that would trigger an attack. Cause again, that last attack, I was unconscious, like I called 911 because something inside said I needed a call. And I had a bill with the hospital that I couldn't pay. I felt guilty, but something inside me told me to call. And the 911 operator, because when you can't breathe, you can't talk, you know, right, said, can you make sure the door is unlocked? And that's where they found me. And the paramedics were great. They came every day to check on me and ask, you know, do you remember us talking to you, do this stuff? And they look, just so you know, like, it looks like something bad happened. And actually I would have them put the label on my inhaler so they knew who I was. And that's the only way they knew who I was. I was grabbing that inhaler. And so that's the only way they knew who I was at the time. And but they checked on me every day. And then, so I came back to Sacramento and said, I just need to figure this out. And I got, and actually at the time I didn't know I was pregnant. And so that kind of scared me. And then we started working and like getting help of it. Again, I was scared to do stuff. So then I slowly, when the kids were 2 and 4, so several years later, I started going, my husband and I decided we wanted to go back to the gym. And so we joined the gym. We joined California Family Fitness in 2002. And I wanted to get back to soccer with my best friend from high school. And so I would walk as long as I needed, and I would run 1 minute and then walk and run 1 minute and recover. Mm-hmm. And then one night, Friday night, my husband's like, let's go to the gym. I'm like, oh, I already went. He's like, I'll buy you dinner. I'm like, sweet. I don't have to do dishes. I don't have to cook for the family. And so I just ran real slow, one song. And I'm like, well, this song is good. And I ran another song and I ended up running for 45 minutes.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, okay. And then they had a flyer at the gym for the Susan G. Komen, the October one, mm-hmm, where it's a walk run, which I've learned if it's walk run, that means most people walk and you can run as opposed to a run walk.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. And then when I came back to the gym, I was like you said about Shamrock, I was so excited. Like I kept thinking about what else I could do. And so I did something crazy. We did the Run to Feed the Hungry 10K, and that was nuts. I'm like, oh yeah, my God.
So many people.
I'm not even chasing anybody, or like the fact I'm choosing to run and pay money. And who knew so many people did this Thanksgiving morning? I was like, oh my gosh. And Krispy Kreme was a sponsor. It was like, this is a crazy world. But it lit something up inside of me, and I felt athletic again, and it felt good. And so we slowly, it's actually my best friend's husband's fault that we ran CIM, because we were training, we were doing these 5K, 10Ks, and it was the first Shamrock, and they had the half and they had the 5K. We're like, what? You don't have a 10K? So we did the 5K, and they're like, 800 people did the 5K, 1,000 people did the half. Like, how far is that? And so we asked them, we're like, how far is the half? And I go, 13.1. We're like, no way. So we did our 5K, and then we obviously refueled on protein because we needed to, because we just ran our hearts out with a 5K, and Fleet Feet answered the first half marathon finishers coming in. And we were like, no way. I don't even remember my time, but his time was 105.27. And he came across that line looking so good. I thought he was an elite athlete. He ran right to the Fleet Feet 10. I was like, whoa. Now 2, 3, and 4 look like they're going to die. I'm like, that's how you should look after you run a half. So he looks, so we're like, okay, well, we'll do the four bridges. Now the Johnny Cash kind of, and that was like off, like crazy. We were like, this is nuts. And he saw that was a halfway distance for CIM training. So he screwed up and signed up for the full. We're like, well, we can't, that's just too much. But then obviously we had to do it the next year, obviously. And then that started everything.
Well, speaking of starting everything, yeah. I mean, if you look at your race results from those very beginnings, very impressive. Braille races, ultras, road marathons, half marathons, as you've said. And I'm just looking through so many different Iron Women finishes here. So can you talk about like how you know, you're doing one sport, you're obviously, you know, running and all of that. And then, okay, now let's add cycling and swimming and all of the other things. And I mean, you didn't just say, oh, let's just start with some local stuff around here. Let's go to Cozumel instead. So really like amped up, not just the physical requirements, but also like I'm thinking logistics and all of that stuff. So how did you decide to kind of embark on that side of things as well?
I mean, I have to give a lot of the credit is to my husband. He always thinks I can just do whatever. I actually have dreams sometimes and he signed me up for some crazy 100-mile race. He's like, yeah, you'll be fine. I'm like, what did you, I go to start training. No, I did small stuff. I mean, I definitely recommend starting small, like a sprint and an Olympic distance and test the waters. And really, it kind of goes back to Shamrock is I was having shin pain. It was probably just shin splints because I took time off from CIM and then I started back. And then, you know, you're like, oh, I can PR. And so I was having shin pain. But of course, your brain goes, oh, it's a stress fracture. So I started taking the spin classes at Cal Fit because I crashed. I didn't like riding a bike as a kid. First of all, I lived on the top of the hill. And I crashed a lot and there's no cell phones and mom and dad. I mean, one time I crashed in the mailboxes and the thistlethorn and I'm all wrapped up. And my brother's like, don't move. I'll go get mom. And he left me. And then an hour and a half later or whatever, he goes, mom says, walk your bike home up a hill that we had to walk every day after school. And so like we learned. So the spin class was nice because I could just get on a bike. I'm not going to crash. And it was fun. And so I'm like, if I have a stress fracture, I need to start cross stretching. If I have a stress fracture, I should start keeping a base. If I have a stress fracture, I should focus on my nutrition. So Shamrock really set me up. So again, Cal Fit, I love the pool. So I started swimming and it was more just to be a better runner. And then my husband was, we were watching Kona on NBC and he goes, when are you going to do that? I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. Thanks a lot. And I asked the kids like, oh, I'm like, what do you want? They're like, yeah, mom, you do it. And I was like, do you want a mom or sticker to put on the car? They're like, yeah, we want the sticker. So when I was in cycle class, I started thinking, is this something I could do? They could see I could do it, but I didn't know if I could. And so I did like, you know, the Total Body Fitness. They're such a great organization. They're so welcoming. They're so inclusive. They're local. Even volunteering to get an idea and then you get race credits. I mean, I love TBF. So we did TBF. So they had a women's triathlon back in the day, which I'm sad is hopefully they'll bring back, even if I need to, you know, get more involved in helping bring it back. I think it's a great opportunity. And then I did Santa Cruz triathlon. Olympic distance is my first one. And it was my husband's birthday weekend. So we were down there. And again, I love Santa Cruz, even though I got sick, but I still love it. I love the ocean and the trees. For me, that's my happy place. So San Diego is a beautiful city, but it's desert. I need trees and ocean. And so I did that. And I just started picturing like, is this something I can do? And I did a local one. I did Vineman first, just because logistics, but we had gone on our 5-year anniversary kind of honeymoon. We went on a cruise to the Eastern Caribbean and Cozumel was one of the islands. And when we were there, we asked, like, we want to see the island. Like, oh, you don't have enough time. And so somebody had told me, hey, they have an Ironman at Cozumel. I'm like, well, that's a great excuse to go and see the island. And we love the people. We love that island. Like we get off the airport, the taxi drivers remember us. We get to the resort. They're like, amigos, how's your family? Where have you been? And so logistically, I was nervous about traveling, but it's warm water, so you don't need a wetsuit. And I love ocean swims and the fish is just amazing. So it was scary that first one. And now we use Ironman as an excuse to just bring my gear and go cool places. it evolved pretty quickly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, going to a new place, any type of destination. And I think a lot of people in the trail running community who, if that's their primary sport, yeah, like trying to find a new place to go in the country just to run some different trails from time to time, always an adventure for sure. And I mean, I'm looking through your results here and I mean, you pretty much, you know, from 2013 all the way to 2022, at least one or two a year, it looks like. Barcelona as well. So, yeah. I mean, that's some pretty serious traveling and all that. So like, I mean, do you have to get there, you know, like a week early to acclimate and all that kind of thing, figure out the lay of the land? Do you pre-ride the courses? Do you go check things out? Like, is it like that in these, you know, triathlon, you know, events as well?
So some people are like that. I'm not. I'm there to see some cool places. And I did realize, like, for Ironman or even longer distances, I want to be in viewable places. Like Arizona, Ironman Arizona is well run, organized. The city is amazing. It just wasn't pretty. Cactus is not my jam. I like trees. And so that really, I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I got to be there, two friends, close friends. It was their first Ironman. And so I got to join the training. I mean, I was actually sad that Saturday. I'm like, I don't want it to end. I just want to keep going. I also really love the training. So whatever happens race day is just the cherry on the top, right? Like this to me is to be healthy, to be fit, and use an excuse to travel. Like the trails, you know, it's nice to go. Like I was considering Moab or Zion, you know, you don't know the trails, but when you sign up at a trail race, they have all the course markings. You just show up and follow the ribbons and they have aid stations. And so you get to see things without worried about getting lost and that you maybe wouldn't get to see if you were just out there on your own. And I love exploring on my own and I love getting a little lost on my own, but at the same time, that's what I love about trail runs. Like you just get to, like Kentucky Yamacra. I was like, how are you? You have so many waterfalls. It's so beautiful. I PR my waterfalls. I PR my creek crossings. It was beautiful. I have no idea where we were. We were somewhere on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. I probably wouldn't have run there if I had run there by myself. So it was, and they gave us extra bonus miles. It was actually 34 plus mile run instead of the 50K. So my legs would have been fine with 50K, but we just kept running.
Definitely. It's so fun running somewhere else. I mean, I always find it like, you get to spend all this time on some ground that the locals may not even experience, and exploring their ecosystems and trees and their animals and the day and the night. And
yeah,
it's so fortunate to do that. You mentioned some Olympic distance, then is a half Ironman and a full Ironman. What is, I don't know the difference between an Olympic distance versus a half and a full. What are all those?
Okay, so Olympic distance, in order for triathlon to be an Olympic, they had to be very specific. So Olympic distance is a 1.5K swim. It's typically two loops. So that way the spectators, they can sell tickets for the spectators to watch, because it's not really fun to watch them go out and back. You want to see the action. And then it's a 40K bike. Again, it's typically in loops for Olympics, but it's a 40K bike and a 10K run. So Olympic distance is always that. Sprint can be anything under Olympic distance. A half Ironman is a 1.2 swim, 56 mile bike, and a 13.1 mile run. It sometimes is like trail races or like Urban Cow. You get a couple bonus extra miles on the bike, or maybe you're in an ocean swim and the water waves took the buoy out a little bit further. So you get extra distance bonus. And then a full marathon is typically 2.4 miles swim, 112 mile bike, and a marathon, though Cozumel's 113, which is fine unless you're suffering. And, you know, I was like just counting the clicks on my watch. I'm like, ooh, 100. Okay, 12 more to go. And then it clicked 112. And I looked up, I'm like, nowhere near the finish. I'm like, okay, head down. Again, it's kind of like trail races, like canyons, like you just get to keep going. And
yeah, that's the beauty. Some people get mad when they're, if you're planning on 112 and you don't get there and you're done, sometimes your mind has struggles with that, you know, but.
Yeah. So and again, if you're racing, yeah, that sucks. If you're racing for time, but I'm racing for life. Like I might pick one race. Like I went to nationals for triathlon and I did race it. I wanted a spot for world championship because it was supposed to be New Zealand. And it was really just an excuse to go to New Zealand and take my stuff. Cause I do take my bike on the plane, and cause I have OCD, my husband calls it obsessive controlling disorder. So I like to buy bike to be with me at all times. And then like Barcelona, we went early. I go early in case there's something wrong with your bike, and to acclimate to the time change, the humidity, the weather conditions. And that's like my vacation. So I normally have to come back right after the race, but I'd rather get there early in case something goes wrong. And then I have time. So because I have OCD, that works for me. A friend of mine, she flew into Barcelona. They left Wednesday, got there Thursday, but it was a little bit of a nightmare. So for me, it's better. And then this last time in Spain, we did some bike touring because we had time. So we got there early and we actually checked into our hotel, stayed the night in Calella. So Barcelona Ironman is a little bit north of Barcelona. And you actually bike along the Mediterranean towards Barcelona and come back and you do two loops. And then you literally run along the Mediterranean, like you're 5 feet from the beach. I mean, like, you're like, is it raining? Oh no, it's just ocean spray. It's amazing. But we dropped off. So the next day we told them at breakfast that we were going to ride to Palamos. And then we spent the night. And then I'm like, well, we're 75K back to the hotel, or we're 80K from France. So I bribed my husband to go to France with me. It was dumping rain. So it's a day we're never going to forget, but we did not tell the hotel. So we came back Friday. We were excited to come back and we walked through that door and I don't speak good Spanish, but oh, I understood they were mad. They're like, we were an hour away from calling the police and reporting you missing. I'm like, what are you talking about? We were like exploring your country. Like, you missed breakfast 2 days. I'm like, okay, well, they know me enough to know I don't miss breakfast. So, okay. Like, they were so mad because they can't. It was very sweet. I'm like, yeah, we don't do that in America. Sorry.
So on these, you know, what is your strong point with an Ironman and what's your weak point? Like, what is it you have to really work on? What's one of the, because having three sports, yeah. I just run, that's enough. But having to swim and ride a bike well, sounds complicated.
So typically for me, the swimming and the running is my favorite. The last year I did so much bike commuting and riding my bike that the bike was the strongest. So that was unusual for me. Like, I biked the whole 112, didn't stop once, didn't need special needs. I felt really strong. But normally the worst part for me is the 90 minutes before the start. Oh, it's the worst, the waiting. Like, at least when I'm swimming, there's something to focus on. When I'm biking, there's something to focus on. When I'm running, there's something to do. When you're just standing there waiting, checking your stuff again, going to the bathroom again. Yeah.
I'm not super familiar because the only sport I haven't really done is swimming. Like, I've done a lot of other sports, but never really swimming and not a race for sure. Do you actually warm up in the water at all, like prior to one of those swims, or are you all just sort of standing around waiting to go in?
It depends on the race. So sometimes you're allowed to go warm up. And if I am, in 21, when the first time I did Barcelona, there was a storm coming in. I mean, the kayakers were getting dumped off their boats. The jet skiers were getting dumped off the boats. So there was a delay. And Ironman Barcelona is unique that it has the half and the full the same day. So the half Ironman athletes are faster, so they go first. So for the full, you started like 8:39 a.m. So you have less time. Typically in Ironman, you have 17 hours. For Barcelona, you don't. You have 15:40. Like, so I'm normally like the front of the middle here. I'm not the fast people. I'm towards the front of the middle. But in Barcelona, I'm towards the back, which is fine because like I'm done before dinner. That's all I really care about. Because again, I don't skip meal, but unless I choose to. So it was nuts. And so people were getting in and one gentleman got in and he's like the size of Mike and he just kept getting knocked down to the ground. And he tried to get up and he just getting body slammed into the sand. And so my husband looked at me because I almost always, if I can get in the water, I want to get in the water. I want to get my goggles stuck. I want to feel the water, the temperature, just get those nerves. And he looked at me, I'm like, nope, there's one take on this. But sometimes you can't, like Ironman Sacramento, they did not get the opportunity to get into the water beforehand. So it depends on the race.
So definitely it's interesting. And all these ultras you did are just training. Most people, we train for Era 50 and you just do it 10 times in the last decade because, you know, it's just training and 14 CIMs, just and all these other canyons and all these other marathons, they're just like training for your, but then you switch gears all of a sudden and you did, how did you decide to do a stage race? At what point were you like, okay, I wanted to be totally different.
And do that wasn't planned. And I love AR50, and I did train for AR50. Canyons was actually, last year I paced a good friend of mine, Lamont King, for Western States. And yeah, great guy. And he signed me up for Canyons as a thank you and insurance policy, which I've paced him for several of the races, and I've never not come in prepared. So I'm like, thank you. So that was totally his fault. And I did train for that because I like going the other way, the normal way, not the upward way. It was really great because I had really good course knowledge. So I helped a lot of out-of-town people. No, in 2015, a good friend of mine, Tina Borgerine, she had signed up for the Celtic Traverse 6-day race. And through a series of events, her husband took a new job out of state. And she said, I've already paid for two people. Do you want to? And I had just jokingly said, my passport's current. And she goes, are you seriously? I'm like, do you know me? Yeah, I want to run. And so we went to Ireland, and I paced her for TRT as well. And she gave me a booklet of contact race information. So I didn't know what I was really getting into because she's so detail oriented. I didn't have to worry about anything. And it's really running through, seeing Ireland through running perspective. So you can race it or you can just enjoy it. So there's a short course, a long course. And we went back in 2017 with a group of my friends, and we even made up a mini course. We made up shorter distances, and it was absolutely, and I'll forever be grateful for her for that opportunity. It was amazing.
Yeah. I have to check it out, but it's called the Celtic Traverse. And it's neat because they have 6 days, but there's an expedition route and then there's a shorter adventure route. So you can kind of, yeah. I've seen a trend in some of those races over there that they have a lot of options, you know, like, you know, for different distances. You don't have to just, you don't need to be extreme. You can just get up and hike and then do it that way. And so that's pretty cool. So folks can check out that.
Yeah.
And we do want to squeeze in your coaching as the show is going fast because it, time flies when you're just time, but we want to chat about your coaching. You're currently a coach, right?
Yes and no. I'm more of a personal trainer. So I work one-on-one. So I do coach people on their swim technique, swim efficiency. And then also, like, I did have a CalFit Active program that we were training once a week in the gym, working on injury prevention, core strength, all of the little niggles that come up, we were addressing. And it's amazing how just one workout a week can make such a difference addressing those issues. I know runners have like really bad memory. We get done with the run and we forget our foot hurt, our knee hurt, because now we're done running. And then you go back to run the next day. You're like, oh yeah, my foot hurt, my knee hurt, my back or whatever. And then you go through your run and it becomes an issue. So we would address that stuff. And then we would run a long one on the weekend. So I haven't had that since 2020. I am looking to start it up again this year, but I've also been kind of enjoying just doing my runs, and I have a couple clients. So I'm more personal training, but I do one-on-one because sometimes we have such great groups. We have Stack Fit, we have Fleet Feet, but CalFit, we have the equipment, and my specialty is core and keeping a strong core and working all of those small muscles, because those are the muscles that fatigue. So really, from my perspective, the longer you hold form, the better you're going to run. And it's not your splits, but if you are stronger and have better form longer, then you're going to run better. And then nutrition. You know, when he said I had 61% lung function, I'm like, okay, well, the meds are working. I'm running. I'm doing all the stuff I never thought I would do. What else have I? I have nutrition. So I started upping my omega-3s. I researched top foods, asked my brother. I said, can you teach me like sushi? And started eating Brussels sprouts, flaxseed, chia seeds, all that stuff. And then a client of mine was having thyroid issues and found out she had, we thought she had a gluten thing. So I went gluten-free for her. for 30 days, plenty. I am allergic to gluten. I'm not celiac, but I have an allergy. So he said that just might cause some stomach distress on my runs. And so I went 30 days and I was shocked at how my lung function is now mostly in the 90s. I still have issues sometimes and I still need to go see my doctor and need a little bit of help. But I mean, if someone would have told me years ago, like, if you just stop eating gluten, you're going to breathe better, you're going to feel better. But it's not for everybody, not everybody. So some of this stuff, like I had an athlete with TBF and she was training for Ironman Santa Cruz and found out through talking and training that she has a dairy thing and she got rid of dairy, completely fixed it. Like wasn't having like major cramping or stomach issues and had just a killer day at Santa Cruz 70.3. So some of the stuff I do that they can't do in the groups is the more one-on-one and specific.
Yeah, and folks can find you at CalFit.
Yes, I'm at California Family Fitness. I'm at the Folsom and Sunrise locations, okay. Mostly okay. Sunrise and Rancho Cordova, but also Folsom as well.
And they can work with you on nutrition, on swimming or core, and those are they can work with you on those items. That sounds good.
Yeah, not nutrition, like I'm not a registered dietitian, but like nutrition for like fueling. So yeah. In one of my me walks, like I was having stomach issues. So I was really trying to be a better fat burner. So I ran Miwok on 1500 calories and salami and cheese, which was delicious, but I forgot. I can't smell because my sinuses. So I'm running along and I'm eating it. And the guy behind me goes, "What are you eating? It smells so good." I'm like, "Oh, sorry." Sorry. Salami and cheese that I don't share. But like I ran for the 63 miles, right? Because it's not technically 100K. On 1500 calories, or like I'll do a bike ride, 100-mile bike ride on 2 bars. So on like 400 calories, because again, the number one reason people drop from ultras is GI issues. Mm. And I learned that at Western States, cause I love volunteering for Western State. I love volunteering actually. And I really think it's something that we should all do. It's so great to give back to the community and just you, there's no way to be like, you can't walk away being uninspired. Like, it's amazing. So I got to be on the safety patrol team in 2014 under Ken Krause. And so we learned all this stuff. But the number one issue people drop out is GI issues, is not getting food down.
Yeah, and it's harder. And obviously in the summer races, it's even more difficult in the summer than in the winter to keep food down because your body's hotter, your whole core is hot.
Yes.
It's hard to keep nutrition. And that's, I'm sure Western States is pretty tough.
Right. So that's why I was getting into so more of the athlete, because again, there's no book on this because everyone's different. And so I was working on being more fat adapted. So I didn't need to eat as much. So I wasn't as dependent on that goo or food. And like 150K, really weird. I spent the night in the bathroom throwing up all night. And that morning I'm like, I don't think I can race. It was Marin Ultra Challenge. Like, I don't think I can do it. And I went to the start because you got to show up. And I'm like, you know, if I need to turn around, my friends gave the car keys. I had a hotel key. And they said, if you need to turn around, turn around. I'm like, let's just see how it goes. And I ran on liquid nutrition and finished the 50K after maybe an hour of sleep and spending the night on the tile floor. It was so cold and throwing up all night. I wouldn't recommend it, but it is possible. But because I spent the time working on being fat adapted, so I didn't need to eat as much.
That's incredible. So if anyone follows you on social media, they know that you bike commute a lot. Yeah. Like you'll put day 7,409 or something like that. So I just wanted to talk a little bit, since we're talking about food and nutrition right now, what does a day look like of nutrition for you? And I know it's specific, but like someone who's so active, their job is active. What do you eat during the day?
Well, every morning I have a banana and almond butter and coffee with collagen. And I do take my almond butter with me when I travel. It normally goes in my bike box. And like last year, we went to Paris. I wanted to bike, see the countryside. So me and my husband took our bikes and we biked the countryside. And I had 2 containers of almond butter in my backpack. Made it a little heavy, but totally worth it. So banana almond butter with coffee and collagen every single morning. And then lunches, I live more like a Spanish lifestyle. Lunch is my biggest meal of the day. And then I have my siesta, and then I eat typically kind of late. If I'm working on my endurance and fat burning, I will eat in a window, but because of my life, I eat breakfast early. So I normally eat lunch around 2 just because my job and my life. And yeah, I mean, when I had the kids, taking the kids to school every day, I couldn't bike commute. So when I got carpool, I was like, I'm free. And it's good for the planet. It's good for me. And I like biking. I mean, like, I didn't like biking and I love biking. I love that fresh air in my face, wakes me up more than coffee. It's amazing.
Yeah. My kids walk to school, rain or shine, because they have no other option. But there's, and you know, bad weather's not that, it's not all the time, because we have such good weather in this area, but there's nothing like cold air in the morning to wake you up. And like, my kids are just like really good students and happy morning people after their morning walk in the morning. I mean, they only walk like 0.6 to school, so they, you know, but it's gets them going. They're happy to go to school, and the days they do get rides, Grumposauruses. So
I feel the same. And my clients will be like, oh, I can tell when you rode your bike, because my brain just that fresh air in the morning. And oftentimes my brain lies to me. It's like, take the car, it's easy. You know, it's just, it's 7 miles. I'm like, Folsom's 15, but I hardly ever regret it. And it's good for the planet. And so what I also did is I rated a little incentive program, because sometimes like our brains are like toddlers. We need an incentive. Yes. So for every time I wanted new cycle shoes, my bike guy said, if you buy these shoes, your feet will never know go numb again. That was not totally correct, but they were $250 pairs of shoes. So if I pay myself $1 per mile, I would just go ride 250 because I wanted the shoes. So I paid myself $1. Every time I use my old shoes. So I rode to work, that was $1. I taught a cycle class, that's $1. I rode home, so I'm like, Redbox, $1. We're going to my sister's house, I'll ride my bike there, $1. The family's not going to miss the dollar. So I started this incentive program, and that's how I bought my shoes. And it was fun. And that's how I bought my first, you know, like, I splurged on a real, I used to do my first triathlons in a surfing wetsuit and or a $28 Costco shorting wetsuit. Everyone's in these like $1,000 wetsuits, and I'm in my $28 Costco wetsuit. I'm like, I'm ready. Like,
whatever.
Triathlon can be expensive. And, but yeah, so I, every time I swam a mile, I paid myself $1. If I swam open water, I got a $2, I got a double bonus. So I just did these little things, ended up learning to love it. And I just have this little envelope. And then I wanted a tri bike. And so my family's happy to pay my gas money. So instead, I just took that money that I would pay for gas, and I started paying into my tri bike fund. So then when I went to go look for my tri bike, my husband's like, I didn't know you have money saved for this. I'm like, yeah. Like,
I did it. Well, there's something else that I want to talk about, because we're getting really close to the end of the hour. Is we give our guests a questionnaire, and one of the questions on there is what our guest is excited about.
Yeah.
And you're excited about running the 50 states, a marathon or greater.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk about that real quick, and when you started it and when you think you're going to be done with it.
Okay. Well, So I was doing one a year. I started in 2010. That was my first out of state marathon. And I was doing one a year. And then I realized last year that was not serving me, because then I would have to run marathons till I'm 87. And I hope to run any marathons at 87, but maybe I don't want to. And so I needed to do 2 a year. And then I only have to run marathons till I'm 67. And so it's just so hard in California. We have races, beautiful races every weekend here.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I'm sad to miss AR50 this year and Marin Ultra Challenge. But if I only have so many marathons in my legs, I just love exploring, and I love meeting the community and the people. I mean, like Kentucky, a friend of ours was like, I think you met every single person today. I just love meeting people. Even canyons, I met people from Oregon. I just love it.
Do you ever think about back to back, like going up to the Northeast and doing Maine and then New York, like within a week? And I mean,
yeah,
weekends or, you know?
Yeah. I just like exploring. Now, if somebody like said you can go to France for 2 weeks and you have to give up Arkansas, I could be convinced. Right. I just like running and I like exploring, and whether it's trail or road, it is really fun. Like with the trails, because you run places in forest you wouldn't run. And the marathon of Hawaii, I was so grateful to be there, but I just ran on so I ran down a volcano, but I was running on Highway 11. It was not pretty. So the trail run, the 50K I did in Florida, was prettier, but then Napa was a road marathon and absolutely stunning. Like, so I just like to see some cool stuff. And like running is such a gift. We get to see and experience, and then the volunteers come out to cheer you. They don't know you. Like, right. you just all of that I just love. So yeah. So all of the states. And we'll see. So we're going to Portugal for my birthday, and we're going to bike from Lisbon to Porto and maybe Spain.
You know what? What one thing, no matter if you're an ultra runner or you're an Ironman, you're a swimmer, one thing you need is a good pair of socks.
Yeah.
And so did you know that this episode is sponsored by Njinji?
Those are good socks.
It's true. Njinji is the innovator of the original performance toe sock. On the show, we're big fans of Njinji here. These socks prevent blisters, keep your feet dry. They let you use all your toes naturally while running, hiking, swimming, maybe not swimming, but running and hiking in the gym. You know, you should definitely check out the Run series, the socks that keep your feet protected and comfortable from training runs to race days. If you want to check them out, you can jump on their website and get our code, which is njinji.com/mile99. Grab your 15% discount code and you'll be set. So thank you, Njinji, for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, awesome. Mike. That was great.
That was my little transition, a little smooth, try to sneak it in there.
That was pretty good. It's always impressive, you know? It's always impressive, those transitions. This birthday guy, he's really got it down. Really appreciate it. We've already been talking for 58 minutes, which is crazy. That means we have to wrap it up. But one last game.
Okay.
To play. It's a rapid fire quick question. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite local trail?
Marin Headlands.
Oh, that's such a good one.
It has so much to offer. Like,
it does.
Yeah. Different ecology systems, different like trails. It offers it all.
It does.
Like, I love it.
I know. Cause you'll be running, you'll see the ocean, then all of a sudden you're running through what looks like a rainforest. And then all of a sudden there's a bridge, and then it's just,
and great. The rocks and the wildflowers, and you feel like you're, sorry. I'm a big rock. That's the thing about Ireland, the rocks. Oh, they're like, sorry. And like,
don't get me started. I love rocks.
Just one, we were going up and all the rocks were gray. And on the other side of the mountain, they were purple. Purple. I have them. And they're like, no, it's stained. I'm like, it's purple. Why? I came home with a lot of rocks.
You and Mike need to get together after. Mike's a geologist. So when we went down to Cocodona, he would just point to rocks and tell me about them. And I'm like, okay, cool. But now I have such an appreciation for every rock that I see.
I took a roadside geology book and I flagged a bunch of pages so they would,
yes,
when they were coming, that they could know what geology they were looking at while they had time. So I kind of pre-marked.
He highlighted a book for us of Arizona geology.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
All right. Okay. You too. What's your bucket list race or event?
Life.
Good answer.
I don't have one. Like, again, like I said, I'm on borrowed time. I'm just loving life.
Good answer. Okay. This is probably our most controversial, and I've edited a little bit for you. Porch cat or small house dog?
You can't make me choose. I mean, the tiny dog loves Raul better. He's his human. but he's a tiny dog. Oh my God. He makes me laugh every day. I PR'd by laughing last year because it's a tiny dog. I did not understand tiny dogs. I didn't know why people wanted tiny dogs. And I totally get it. My life has forever changed. He's so tiny. I think he's tired of me telling him how much I love him. But Porch Cat, I mean, the cat walks with me. He comes to my voice. I checked on in the Lightning the other day. I thought he would think we abandoned him when we went to Spain. So I bribed my 70-year-old neighbors to feed him every day because I was worried about Porch Cat like leaving us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't. Don't make me. I can't.
Okay. All right. Both are a favorite in their own. It's like children. You're my favorite doing this. You're my favorite doing that. So I get
it. Yeah.
Cool. It took 90 episodes to somebody finally wouldn't answer that question.
Yep. Usually it's real quick. They're like, dogs or cats.
Well, for many years, I was scared of living and limited myself and limited what I thought I can do. And I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even there were times I wouldn't sign up for races because we're about the DNF. At least show up. If you do 40 miles, it's 40 more miles than you. But I was like, well, what if I DNF? And that stopped me from doing stuff. As opposed to just show up, like, no, train right. Don't get me wrong, because you don't want to put yourself in danger or get injured. But I live scared and I limit myself. So I don't want to limit myself anymore. But I didn't plan to have a Porch Cat or a tiny dog. So, but I love
them. I'm so glad. We are at the end of the show. We even went past because we have to talk about rocks and cats.
Yeah.
So we love it. Our next episode, we are talking all things Bad Luck Run Club because they have their new Placer Trail Running Festival coming up. So we're going to get a little pre-race briefing. We also want to deeply thank all our Patreon and our Venmo supporters. If you're new here, our social media handle across all platforms is at @TheMile99Interview. Give us a follow. Thank you to our Patreon members again and our newest Patreon, Gordon Harvey. We appreciate you so much. We will see you guys all on the trails and the roads.
Yes.
See you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be on the trails.